Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Merkle Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tech Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Moonlight Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
In uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
been in
a
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Iconic, Rockfin, Odyssey, no way YouTube on this one, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thank you so much. We certainly do appreciate your tremendous support. We couldn't do it without the help of our sponsors, TrueHempScience.com. They've been fantastic, man. They're a new sponsor to us. They're a small shop based in Austin, Texas. You know, we have a soft spot in our hearts for small businesses. They're making the best hemp CBD out there. You want to take a look, go to TrueHempScience.com/macroaggressions. They built a landing page for us. You can check out all their products. What I've been taking is the number 19 and the number 41. It's been great for my shoulder. That's the one thing I just needed help with, my busted up left shoulder. If I just decided if this stuff works, I'll know pretty soon. And it's been working great. So I can't say enough good things about them. Check them out. Go to truehempscience.com/macroaggressions. Use the promo code macro on your way out. If you purchase anything $65 or more, they will throw in a bottle of number 81 distillate. And there's free shipping on anything $150 or more. So if you're looking for a gift for someone in your life, you want to help somebody, give them the gift of improved health, go take a look at truehempscience.com/macroaggressions. And well, since we're talking about getting prepared and getting ready and getting yourself squared away, our sponsorship with My Patriot Supply has been fantastic. They built a page for us called Prepare with Macro Aggressions. My suggestion, listen, this is the type of thing you want to be early rather than late. You want to, you're better off being a month or two early than a day late when it comes to getting yourself ready with the storable food. They've got 4-week supply. They have a 3-month supply. They've got all sorts of products there. So if you're interested, you can go to preparewithmacroaggressions.com. Take a look, see if they've got anything that's right for you. But either way, whether you're shopping with our sponsor or you're just thinking about, just start getting yourself prepared. My God, with all the supply chain issues that we've seen, if you aren't recognizing what is coming our way, well, shame on you. So you want to get a little bit out there ahead of the curve. So take a look at the websites. All the links will be in the description, and support the show. Helping to support the sponsors helps to support the show. Well, you all know my guest. He is the senior producer and nightly news director over at InfoWars. Of course, we're talking about Rob Due. What's up, Rob? How's it going over there at InfoWars? How you been?
It's going good. You know, titles are always overrated. At my time at InfoWars, I've done everything from shooting video, editing video, making coffee. I've been tasked with cleaning out, what do we call them, refrigerators. So it's all, it's always been different.
I remember I took an internship with the Colorado Rockies their first year in the league. And if there was a totem pole, I was the lowest guy on the totem pole. I was an unpaid intern, literally washing jock straps and shining shoes for tip money. I just wanted to be in that organization in baseball so bad. I understand, man. Sometimes you gotta do all the jobs to
start at the bottom. Yeah. When I first moved to Austin, I was doing production PA work on movie sets, and the nickname for the PAs was Ass Boys.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was a gay thing. It was just what, you know, you get the ass into the everything.
Yeah.
And I told that to my old bass teacher. I said, yeah, they say I'm an ass boy. He goes, well, ass boy leads to ass man.
So I think they made a Seinfeld episode about you, if I'm not mistaken.
that's a good philosophy on life. And half of success is showing up.
Right. Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize that. You know, an event happens, something's going on. You happen to be there with your phone. I like to like back in 9/11 a few years ago when Hillary Clinton collapsed and they threw her into the van in a heap. Happened to be he was an immigrant. I think he was Polish or Czech. I think he was from East Germany, and he was a Democrat, and he shot this video and he had no idea the reverberations it was going to have. And right. People, you know, wanted to license it and do all this other stuff. I found it about, I mean, maybe like 15 minutes after it went live. So I had it before he was even approached by the licenses. So he let us keep it and use it. I think we paid him a little bit of money, but he was like, oh yeah, you guys could use it. Yeah. A Democrat and an InfoWars fan. And he happened to shoot the Hillary Clinton collapse video, which was iconic.
Well, don't tell him, but I'm stealing it and using it in the intro of my show. So hopefully.
Oh, good. Well, I didn't even know that. That's it was an iconic moment. I watched that and I'm like, this is the end. There's no way she can win with this. That's it. She's done.
Right. Right. Yeah. There's certain times when you see things and you go, that's going to be tough to recover from, you know, that was one of them. That and when Trump said, you know, or you'd be in jail, you know, that one, I was like, oh, it was just such a zinger. And you just went, oh, you wanted to run against this guy? What's the matter with you? He's so much better on stage than you are. He's going to destroy you.
Big time. There's a video floating around. It was on Mastodon a few days ago. And it was kind of a redo of Trump making fun of Jeb. And oh man, the guy who edited it did a great job. I mean, just picked out all the little bits and pieces, and there's other guys in there, and it's mainly the reaction of the other senators and congressmen and whoever they are on the debate stage while he's just reaming Jeb. They're all like, God, I'm glad that's not me. Like Rubio just seems relieved that he's not focusing his eye on him. So those were the good old days, I guess, of Trump tearing everybody a new one.
So let's stay on that line of thought then here. So we've got, I don't know what we've got as the president right now, some sort of weird animatronics, maybe a puppet. I'm not sure, but we have the very real possibility of Donald Trump coming back in 2024. What does that look like for the Republican Party, the Democratic Party? I mean, you thought that the libs screaming at the sky was a lot in 2016. I mean, the return of Trump would break their brains, would it not?
Yeah, there. I caught. What does it look like for the Republican Party? And then you froze.
Oh, sorry. What does it look like for the Republican Party or the Democratic Party if Trump makes a return in 2024 and comes out and runs? And what do they do? What does that look like? Does the Democratic Party just give up at that point, or what? Like, who's going to run against him?
Well, I'm no Karl Rove, but I would say, exactly. I would say he's the front runner at this point. I think right now what we're seeing is the starts of, even though it's been a long process to get these, it seems like, I guess you could cheat on elections if you're a Democrat and have, you know, unlimited voters. And but this guy just read an email that he got back in, and they put it out in November, and they've had this since November 30th of last. Well, maybe it was just this year, but they had a hearing, and it was a whistleblower email saying they were going to put 35,000 votes into elections in Arizona, and they were going to do it by 1,000 in blocks of 1,000, so it wouldn't be traceable. And then if they went and looked at it again, it'd be, oh, that was just an oversight. Don't blame us. We made a counting error. And so, you know, if he runs it again, can they steal it again? Or are these people going to get their heads out of their asses and actually do something? I can't believe you read these articles on, you know, Gateway Pundit and other websites like, you know, Citizen Free Press, and they cover this stuff religiously. It seems like every little cough from somebody saying we need election reform is covered, but nothing seems to really happen, except lawsuits seem to get denied. There was a lawsuit in Atlanta that was denied. So, you know, I don't think Trump can win unless there's major changes that take place, because it doesn't matter if you have catch him on video. It doesn't matter if you catch him, you know, dead people voting or 50 people in one house. It's like, oh, no big deal. You know, we're Democrats. We get to do that. Ha ha ha. You know, and that seems to be what they're left with. And I'll tell you this, I'm no Republican. And if I would vote for Trump again, but I wouldn't vote for it necessarily for anyone else. Like if it was the Jeb Hillary, I probably would have voted third party or not voted at all, right? Because that's not a choice to me. That would have been the New World Order puppet either way, which is what they wanted. That's why it was Kerry and Bush and McCain and Obama. You know, that was a New World Order. I think Bob Dole might have been an outlier, but I think he also played ball and he was in there enough that he was going to, a Mitch McConnell type guy, wasn't going to rock the boat. And so obviously I'd love to, you know, Trump coming in upends the apple cart again, and is going to drive these people crazy. They're still afraid of him. They're so afraid they're augmenting texts and editing texts that people are sending in. So he definitely has these people on their heels. But let me tell you this, when he got in last time, he had a chance to clean house, but he sat there and listened to people like Sean Hannity and Rince Priebus and these other blowhards that don't really do anything, that are there to keep the status quo going. And you look at the Democrats and they go, hey, we're going to make changes. You got to kind of admire what they do. They're corrupt and criminal, but they all stick together. They all work together and they don't have a problem stealing, lying, cheating. They don't care. They'll do it to get their goal through. And I'm not saying we need to do that, but we at least need to have some common values and common goals that we look at and say, these are the 10 things we want to do. If we're going to get rid of the deep state, hey, you have to abolish the CIA. And I think you have to abolish the FBI and create a whole new system from the ground up. We can do it. It's the freaking internet age. You know, you could put out resumes, you can interview people, you could do these things. They just don't seem to have the spine to really want to carry through with the things that need to happen in this country because they're, oh, national security, this and that. There doesn't seem to be any problems with Joe Biden running things, and he's doing a terrible job. And when I say problems, there doesn't seem to be all these, of course, we have China, we have Russia, we have these Russia and Ukraine, we have these things that could happen. But if we got rid of the CIA and FBI, I think we would do a lot better in this country than where we're going now. Because where we're going now is pedophile Satan worshipers, as far as I'm concerned.
False flags, fake uprisings, Acme Brick Company delivering pallets of bricks.
Woke, it never ends.
Woke DA weirdos getting financed by Soros, going in and changing legislation on the local level, which is, like you said, evil and genius, like very smart. If you're Soros, you want to get in there and you want to sow division and create chaos. Well, we know a way to do it. Let's make it lawless. And how do you do that? You can do it on the local level. So we've said, what do you think about Ron DeSantis though? Because he's got a little Trump in him. You know, he's a little bit, he's not a guy that's going to get pushed around too easily. At least on the surface, it looks like that. When someone's got the goods on you, obviously, you know how that goes, but he outwardly appears like he is freedom leaning. He is personal responsibility leaning. He's all the things that you would want in a guy. Does he have the ability?
Does he have the chutzpah? Does he have the moxie? Well, that's a good question. I think that's the big question for DeSantis. Does he have the will to want to do it? And is he going to stay? You know, I don't know if people remember, but you know, Trump's one of the first things he said was Americanism, not globalism, is our credo. That was one of the first reasons why I'm like, I'm going to support this guy just because he said that. And I was not a big Trump guy in the beginning. I was more Rand Paul or looking at, you know, I was looking at third parties too. But you get those seem to be co-opted by the hard ultra left or, you know, I don't know what the Libertarian Party is doing. They're not doing much of anything. No. But that's where I started off. Well, that's where I went from being a Democrat in the 90s to a Libertarian. I think I voted for Clinton once and that was it. When I realized it was all, you know, because Clinton came through and, oh, he's going to be this, he's a young guy. And, you know, I think you need some youth in there. I thought it was a good thing to get a younger guy in there. He just happened to be, you know, a drug dealing psychopath from from Arkansas. So, you know, but you didn't know that at the time. There was no internet. Now you can get a little more information from these people.
He was Bubba. I'm going jogging. Yeah, and sometimes I stop at McDonald's. I get an Egg McMuffin. You know, everyone's like,
he went on the Arsenio Hall show and played the saxophone, and you know, and that won was the
election because of that.
I think he did because I think that got a lot of young people like, hey, we could vote for this guy. He's going to be cool. He you know, went in, oh, I'm just going to sell everything to China and I'm going to start, you know, the great sucking sound and NAFTA and all these other things. So he, at the end of the day, he was a globalist run by the CIA, most likely. That's who was working with him in Arkansas. I mean, so you have to think that's who's working with him in the White House and who's controlling him. Trump wasn't controlled. They couldn't have that. And they were able to get General Flynn. And at the end of the day, I think Mike Pence was just not a good pick for, it was a safe pick for VP. I think he could have gone with a woman. I think if he would have picked somebody like I would be, if he picked Tulsi Gabbard to be his running mate, I think he would win hands down, no problem. Yeah. Because then Democrats would be like, oh, wow, he picked a Democrat. And I think she would run with him. I think she would do it. But who knows? Going back to DeSantis, I think he has a lot of what it takes. I think he needs a few more years of seasoning. Let's see what else he does in Florida. But he's making, to me, all the things he's doing are right on the money. And apparently, there was an article, and it was a conversation between him and Biden. And he, at one point, he kept calling him Mr. Biden. He goes, you will address me as president. He goes, no, and fuck you. Apparently, this is on a phone call. I would love to hear this phone call. Apparently, there's a recording of it. And if that's the kind of thing that the Democrats be like, we're going to play this, and everybody be like, yes, that's the guy we want in office. Right. The guy who told Brandon, fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. That would be that would be my campaign slogan. If I was Ron DeSantis, yeah. it would be, fuck you, Brandon. It'd be like, I'm not calling you president and fuck you. 2024. Yeah. Yeah. That looks good on a t-shirt too, by the way, I think. So are you enjoying Hillary's new podcast?
I haven't watched it. The only thing I watched was a clip of her whining about not winning the president. I tried. We looked at it a little bit when Alex was working on this Reset Wars project, and I've done a little bit of help with him on that. And I sent him a link. And I said, hey, Hillary's coming out with a masterclass. And, you know, I'm looking at the chapters. And I'm looking at the length and I'm looking at all this. I'm like, God, people. And then underneath, it's like, here's one from Bill Clinton. Here's one from George Bush. Here's one from Madeleine Albright and Condoleezza Rice. I'm like, what could you learn from these people except how to be a globalist suckass? I mean, how to sell your country out. That's what you learn from these people. Right. How to sell your country out and how to sell the prosperity down the river. Because I don't know how we could go from having 4 years of really good prosperity, except for maybe 2020, it started going down a little bit with the fake COVID. And that's where I think, you know, just to jump onto a sidetrack real quick, one of Trump's real weaknesses was letting these health people run all over him. And, you know, he even had Navarro in there with him. And it's like Peter Navarro maybe he came in a little too late. He came down as the boulder was already pushed down the hill and it was rolling. And, you know, and he's still pushing the vaccine. I don't know if if he doesn't come out and say something against the vaccine, he has said there shouldn't be mandates. But if you listen to I'm still haven't finished. I got 45 minutes left of the Peter McCullough, Joe Rogan interview. And, you know, I've heard pretty much everything Peter McCullough has to say, but it's in a very concise form on this podcast. And if nobody's getting, or if he's insulated from this information, the damage that this thing is causing, especially to the young people, then he's doing a whole disservice to everybody. And I don't see how he can, I don't think his base is going to vote for somebody who's sitting there glad handing with the pharmaceutical companies.
I agree. And we had, we did a group show. We have a Sam Tripoli, Ricky Verandas and Midnight Mike. And I have a group show called The Union of the Unwanted, where it's like a roundtable discussion. We bring in experts, we bring in content creators, we get to the bottom of it. We did it twice a month in our Monday night show. We had Dr. Peter McCullough on. He was fresh off Rogan that morning, and he came on and talked to us about that. And I said, just help me out here. Let me explain to me. Soccer players are not supposed to just drop dead. Correct? And he says, that is correct. I said, so is it reasonable to say that the vaccine might have a role? And he says, well, it's more than reasonable to say. And he went on and explained sort of listen, these guys get EKGs every time before the season starts. We have to, they have to run through this.
They're doing physicals. Yeah.
They get physicals. They have to be cleared. There's a lot of money on these contracts. You know, they got to make sure that if you've invested this money with this guy, he's not going to drop dead on the field. And yet here we are. We've got 100 plus FIFA players in Europe experiencing massive heart related issues, including death. And everyone's just going, I don't know what it is. Just global warming. And Dr. McCullough comes on and he says, no, listen, I'll take it a step further. I'll say it's the vaccines are doing this. This is what's happening. You know, of course we know that, but it's rare that you get a doctor that sort of steps up and says, I'm going to just lay it out for you. Here's how it is. Oh, and by the way, my background is I'm a cardiologist. So if anyone would know about hearts, it would be someone in my position, you know? And so he explained it in a way. We only had him for about a half hour and we had several other doctors on, but it was a good way to sort of get to the bottom of it. I think like what Alex has been saying recently, which is, you know, Trump needs to step up and come out and say and disavow the vaccine component to this. And if he doesn't do it, then, you know, he's sort of on his own. And I agree with Alex. I agree with that sentiment that this, you could maybe hide behind it the first year, maybe. I mean, we all kind of knew what was going on, but maybe you could say, well, there's a lot of confusion and, you know, decisions were made, but now at this point, a year and a half in, you know, pretty much a year since the shots have been coming out, I don't think there's any room for gray area. I don't think there's any room to sort of stand on that side. You need to pick a side. So if clearly DeSantis has made his choice, it's a bit disappointing to not see Trump making his choice as well. So do you think that that's something that could happen, or is the big pharma just a condition of employment as the president is, you've got to do what big pharma tells you to do?
Well, you might be right there. They stopped him from doing his vaccine safety. This is before COVID, his vaccine safety council with Robert Kennedy.
Right.
So he didn't do that. He said he was going to, and then Bill Gates came and talked him out of it. He said, yes. That would be a bad thing.
Yeah.
You know, don't go there, because these things, no, they're not safe, and they shouldn't be mandating them in any form for anybody, especially children. And I don't know if you have kids, but you go into, when you have a kid, people might not know this, of day one, that baby comes out, they want to inject it with a vitamin K shot. Hmm. Well, that vitamin K shot has a little bit of ethyl alcohol in it. So baby's first shot is literally baby's first shot. And they don't seem to have a problem with injecting alcohol into their bloodstream, which I think is ridiculous to give that to a baby. And then by day two, they want to give them a hepatitis B vaccine. Well, who gets hepatitis B? Intravenous drug users and people who engage in promiscuous anal sex. For the most part, that's how they get it, or blood transfusion. So you got three ways you can get it. Well, baby's not doing any of those things. Right. And that turns out that's a condition that the hospitals decide to do because they don't want a nurse to pass it on to the baby. So if the nurse has hepatitis B, you know, but that's like, hey, that's not my fault. If your nurse has hepatitis B, maybe they shouldn't be dealing with babies. Maybe they should go somewhere else. And,
Maybe they should quarantine.
Yeah, exactly. You know, let's start, if we're really concerned about friends and family, then let's really be concerned about friends and family, like they say we should be. But yeah, Trump has to come out and say it. I think the scariest clip in the last few days is the president of BioNTech. They played it on No Agenda, but we also played it, I think, a couple days, two or three days before it went on there. And it's, you know, the Joseph Mengele voice saying, I cannot take the vaccine. It is illegal for me to take it because I have to keep working. And it's like,
what?
Whoa, dude. And then the guy digs himself a hole and then he fills it with crap and stands on it and then sits there and says how he can't participate in the vaccine. And I'm just amazed at that. One, that clip's amazing that it got out there. But two, the fact that he could just stand there and talk like that. And it's that's a Georgia Guidestone moment. That guy is literally like chiseling in, I want 500 million people. And if, you know, these pharmaceutical companies aren't here for our health. I don't know. If you go back and look at the Rockefeller Foundations in the early 1900s, it's, you know, the whole allopath, homeopath form of medicine, and they want allopaths who prescribe drugs. And so that became, the term modern medicine became allopaths, who were just going to prescribe drugs to fight symptoms, not really look at causes of problems. You know, they don't ever look for, it's like the cause for cancer. They only look for a cure for cancer.
Right.
And, you know, what is the cause of cancer? Probably everything around us. There's probably weird forms of radiation coming off of everything here. There's cell phones. You know, this has got lots of juice coming out of it. The towers, everything is probably the food we eat, the water we drink. It's all giving us cancer in one way or another.
Right.
So, you know, but we don't look at, oh, let's filter our water. Let's eat more organic food. Let's cook with less vegetable oil. You know, that stuff is never talked about. You know, it's get a vaccine, get this pill. And while I will say, I became a little more of a believer once I met good doctors who helped me, because I had a pretty bad case of COVID, get rid of those symptoms that were causing COVID-19, because I was in a really bad place. And the stuff they prescribed was low grade pharmaceuticals, but they all worked. It was three medicines and aspirin, and boom, I'm back on the road to recovery instead of just being, you know, laid out in a bed.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, as long as there's the financial component to medicine, and I'm not trying to, you know, say that, that there shouldn't be some financial component. This stuff costs money, but where we've gotten away from the Martin Shkreli's of the world, and where we've really taken the pharmaceutical industries have taken advantage of the of us. They've bought the most efficient things they could possibly buy. They bought politicians. They made it so we can't renegotiate our drug prices and things like that. Like just.
And now we can't say no to them. Now we have to take them.
Decisions like, that are clearly against our own best interest. And we're not, and they're the number three leading cause of death in America and all these things, the VAERS court, the pre-COVID vaccine issues, the very real problems with the MMR shots, all of these things are out there. And so like when COVID came around, when the COVID story and narrative and all of that came around and people started talking about, well, I mean, wait till the vaccine comes. And then like we had an advantage, you know, people that are in the alternative media, we had an advantage because we were well-versed on the role of the pharmaceutical industry years before. We knew about the vaccine situations. We knew about the VAERS court. We knew how dangerous these things were. We knew about, you know, the billions and billions of dollars in fines and lawsuits that they've paid out. We know that there's the legal protection against them since 1986. We didn't need a refresher course in any of this. We already knew it. So, but the normies in our world, this is like the first time they've ever considered the possibility that maybe Big Pharma isn't so altruistic and working in the people's best interest, that maybe, just maybe, they're more interested in turning a profit. And I think people are starting to see that and they're going, wait a second. And now you've got CEOs of these pharmaceutical industries saying, oh, I'm not taking the shot. You've got the Israeli CEO of Pfizer saying, well, no, you know, I'll let everyone else go first. It's like, no, man, you can get to the front of the line. Please do. I'd like to watch you do it. You know, so we've got this weird relationship with the pharmaceutical industry that we've known and talked about. I've written books about it. You've done God knows how many hours of shows on this. We knew all about it, but I find myself having to be a little bit more patient with the normies because I realize that they're new to this information and it's just starting to break their brains. Like, wait a second, the shots might not be effective. It's like, yeah. And if you want to take it the next step, the guys that are putting the shots out, they have a big plan for all of you people. And it's not good. It's like the equivalent of getting loaded into the boxcars and resettled in the East, you know, but it's an injectable version of it. And so I feel like there's so many people that are kind of in some form of awakening. It's optimistic. I mean, I feel optimistic about it, but at the same time, like, what's going to happen to them when they all have this realization? It's just going to break their brains that they've been allowing themselves to be injected by psychopaths.
Well, if you believe some of the numbers people are putting out there, they say close to 500,000 people may have been killed by the vaccine. That's, you know, at least 500,000 people who knew that person who are going, wow, he died right. Maybe they're not putting two and two together, but maybe, you know, then they got it and they got sick. They didn't die. And this all, you know, this honestly, a lot of this started, which is why the fake news moniker had to be invented and thrown out there, was when Trump started talking about what was really going on. You know, you had Republicans and Democrats both running to the abyss and holding hands, you know, just bitching about different ways they were going to destroy the country. And so you've got this long, but it's a long wake up process. You know, I know people who are awake to a lot of the things that are going on, but they still went out and got the vaccine.
Yeah.
I don't know why. For me, all you have to do is one word. It's experimental. You say it's experimental. Well, you know, hey, where's your liability? What do I get if it does something to me? Oh, nothing and nothing. Okay. Well, shove it up your ass. I don't want your vaccine. Like the Irish or the English drinking song, you could take them vaccine mandates and shove them up your ass, essentially. Yeah. Yeah. And I can't believe people would inject their kids with anything that says experimental. I mean,
Experimental airplane. I got an experimental airplane like John Denver. Want to go fly in it? No, thanks.
Right, exactly. You know, it didn't work out for him too well.
No.
And he was a good guy. I love John Denver. But you know, experimental means we don't know what this is going to do.
Right.
It's supposed to work this way, but we're not sure. And, you know, it's up to you to take the risk. And that's the thing, that the risk and it's up to you have been taken out of the equation. They're like, oh, it's safe and effective. It's everything's mild. These are all rare side effects. Don't worry. And it's lie after lie after lie. Are people going to wake up about it? I don't know. There's still plenty of people out there that are pushing the vaccine that will push it till it doesn't matter what you tell them. It doesn't matter what side effects they have. They'll still believe it. And I don't know why. I don't know what it's going to take. It's almost like you have to let the little kid, what was it? Touch the stove burner, you know, 'cause they don't believe you. It's hot. Mm-hmm. And they touch it. Oh, it burned me. Oh, see, I told you it was hot, but you didn't listen.
Right.
You know, or putting dishwasher soap in your dishwasher, you know, the hand washing soap. Right. You put that in there one time. After you do it once, you'll never do it again.
Right.
And, you know, I think it happened. And I never did it because I saw my sister do it. And there was suds everywhere. We're like, oh my God, what did you do? And she's like, I just put dishwasher soap in it. And, you know, You learn. And it's one of those things that you'll never, ever forget. And you always take that with you. So they have to see it for themselves. You can't tell people about these things anymore. They just have to experience it. And they'll experience it, or a family member is going to experience it, or a friend's going to experience it. And they're going to go, oh shit, the crazy people on the internet were right. What else could they be right about? Because that's kind of what's been happening the last, you know, 3 or 4 years with Alex. Like, people are like really going, wow, he was right about all this stuff. Here's him talking about the program they're using to lock people down 10 years ago. Here is him talking about it. And, you know, he's getting chills talking about it. And he's like saying things like, I'm not even worthy to bring you this information. And it's hardcore stuff.
Yeah.
But now it's happening. You can see it happening in real time. It's hard to believe it could ever happen, but now it's happening.
Let's talk about this, because you and Alex and Mike did a great episode that went super viral about 8 months ago on the SPARS pandemic document. And that was a wake-up call. Someone had sent it to me in advance, and my dumbass didn't read it until you guys did that. And then it was like, wait a second. Okay, so in that fiction,
well, let me tell you how that happened. First of all, so I think I heard Adam talk about it on the No Agenda show. So I looked it up, and I'm like, oh, 85 or 100 something page report. I'm like, I'm not going to read this. So, but I printed it out, and I tried to go pawn it off on the writers. I'm like, here, this is what they're look. Just, and I showed him a couple of things, like, write a thing about it. Look, they got the disease on the front. It's the coronavirus. Write about it. Them being writers with other things to do than read 100 page reports, they didn't do it. I pass it off on tour. I tried to show it to Alex. He's like, yeah, dude, good job. Go check this out. I'm like, I don't have time to read this. So actually, I handed it off to Michael. I said, hey, you might want to read this. Well, he actually did it and pulled out some good stuff. And then I think it was like a Thursday or Friday, because we're doing a Saturday show. And I said, okay, I guess I better read it now. So I quickly scanned it, keyword searching. I'm like, okay, boom, 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 boom. And so I found these other things to augment what Michael had researched. And I'm like, this is good. We could take this, and this is going to be a badass report now. And yeah, we went in there, and he had his parts and I had my parts, because, you know, people read these things and they get different things out of them. They get different things relate to them differently. Like, to me, the tweets were the biggest thing, because they're tweeting exactly what was happening. The rapper was a big thing because of the Run DMC thing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm reading this stuff, and it's immediately like firing electrons in my brain going, mm-hmm. Oh, this is it. This is another thing. This is another thing. Oh, remember this? Boom. So we were able to take that and, you know, I think put out a good report. General Flynn watched it. And he was blown away by it. And now people at Peter McCullough, obviously, I don't know if he watched our report, but he knows about the SPARS thing now, too. And it's great to see people talking about stuff. And you're like, oh, yeah, I did a report on that. The report we did on Fauci and the universal flu vaccine, when him and he's there with Rick Bright, and they're talking about how great we got to have this moment that'll bring everybody together and we'll get all this money and we'll be able to spend it and create a universal flu vaccine. Well, universal flu vaccine is just basically anything, which is basically this COVID. It's a universal COVID vaccine. And now we're going to have universal cancer vaccines and anti-smoking vaccines. And it's all with this great mRNA technology that, oh, on some people, it's going to blow out your heart, but hey, whatever.
Right.
You know, at least you're protected. Right.
We had Dr. Robert Malone on our Union of the Unwanted show, and we were in, and we were talking to him, asking him questions about this. And we were saying, explain this. And he's like, well, the thing is, once you turn it on, you can't really turn it off and everything. And so we said, well, he says that was the problem with it. You know, that's the thing about it. And we said, who financed you? Like, who hired you to make this? And he said, the military. And we're like, wait, what? He's like, yeah, it's a, you know, I mean, that's the thinking that goes into this. So, you know, you guys put this, so the SPARS document, I actually read the whole thing too, because Mike sent it over to me. And so I was like, what is going on? And I did an episode on it later. But the thing about it is that in that fictional scenario, which hasn't fully played out in real life yet, but when you guys did that, it was like about 8 months ago. And where we are currently is the point in that document where it starts to become self-evident that the vaccine is causing some major problems. So if we want to map up that timeline and sort of drop it on our real timeline, we're just hitting that point, late November.
For some people, not for us. I mean, we're obviously ahead of the game, but
right, yeah. Right.
The first batch
of vaccine people, they said that in the SPARS document, it takes about 9 months later, and then everything kicks in, and we're now at that 9 month part in real life right now. So I think it's important. And look, I've never wanted to be so wrong about something in my life, right? I don't want this document to be real. You don't either. I mean, it's a document predicting mass death because based on something that was totally preventable. But what was so fascinating about it was besides it being like scary accurate, it was just the fact that they had thought in advance, we need to have the media and the pharmaceutical industry coordinate on what this messaging is going to be for this, because we're going to need this. We're going to make some mistakes. This is how we bring this, the rap community into it. This is how we get the Black community. This is how we talk to the Native Americans, because they said you can't approach the Native Americans and say that this will keep you from dying. We're not scared of death. You have to approach it differently. You have to tell them this will help you live, because we're all about being in the moment. So like all of this hardcore like Tavistock psychology is in this report, and you're reading it going, oh my God. So I just thought it was,
Hear that with Fauci in the beginning. He was like, we have to go to the community and get community leaders to tell people that they need to take it. And, you know, he was already thinking that because they'd already war gamed that out, and they knew they needed that part of the puzzle was to get the community people on board. Yeah. And I think you get on board with what? How do you get on board? Hey, you get on board with money. You know, you go to a small town preacher and say, hey, we're going to give you $100,000. It's part of a grant to help reach out to the community. Oh, that sounds good. That sounds like I'm going to help people. Yeah, you're going to help people. You know, you're going to help people die because we have to, you know, cull the population. And here's one of the crazy things though. Now that they're doing all these young kids, and these kids will never be able to, you know, most likely not be able to reproduce. I think we'll know that in the next, 3 years? I think we'll start seeing the fallout of that. Yeah. Then you're going to see the birth rate plummet. Then you're going to have a lot of old people and not a lot of young people. And that's going to create a strain. Then it's going to be like, that's going to be an easier sell for the death pods that they're making out in Switzerland, I believe, where you get in and you push the button and, you know, happy go lucky joyride. They're basically creating the world they keep warning us about, but they're creating it by going in there and manipulate manipulating things. And it started with them, you know, manipulating this disease. Yeah. So, but yeah, it is amazing how when you look at the scenarios and the war games that they run, SPARS was definitely, you know, what we're living in through, what we're living through now. And people can, you type in SPARS pandemic, S-P-A-R-S, and you can download the PDF and read it for yourself. And, you know, people even talked about it when it came out, but it wasn't, you know, it was like, oh, you know, that'll never happen.
Right.
And sure enough, it happened with a bunch of crappy, you know, they're able to lock down countries using crappy social media videos of people collapsing in China. And just like that, people bought into it. They listened to the health professionals. They allowed the statistics to be manipulated. And a lot of that is people don't know how, you know, people, a lot of people don't know how a hospital works. And when they say the hospitals are 90% full, they don't realize they're always 90% full. Or, you know, they will take a whole floor and turn it into an ER or an intensive care unit, an ICU, when they need it. And when they don't need it, it becomes another type of floor. But people don't realize that because they're not in that business. And, you know, then some of the nurses obviously realized it because they didn't take the vaccine, and they're being, you know, now they're getting, hospitals are getting rid of their vaccine mandates. It's like the reality is starting to hit these people. They're like, wait a minute, people are really dying.
Yeah.
So in a way, that's a good thing. It's sad, but how else are these people going to listen? Because you could tell them and they don't believe you. It has to happen. And that's the whole thing that goes back. This whole process has to play out. Our job is to be there and show, yes, this is how, yes, this is what's going on. Now, look, these are the people that are causing it. This isn't a bat. This isn't a mistake. This is all being done on purpose. And this is how these are the people we have to go after. There has to be trials. They have to be held accountable, or they're going to do it again. And this time they're going to kill a lot more people, and they're going to keep doing it until we stop them. And that's it. It's just like the elections. They have to go out and arrest these people who are doing this fraud. That just has to happen. I can't believe you have a press conference with the sheriff and he's like, yeah, these are people who were, they were filling in ballots for people, but nobody gets arrested. You're the goddamn sheriff. Go fucking arrest people. Right. Stop letting these people get away with shit. Well, what authority do you need to go arrest people? You've done the investigation. Oh, we have to have the attorney general file charges. At least arrest them. It's fraud. It's a crime. You don't wait for the attorney general to arrest a bank robber. You just go arrest the bank robber. Okay. Yeah. Robbing our elections is the same thing. So until they do that, nothing's going to change. And maybe it's other people have to get in these positions. Maybe we have to have a whole system where we clean out these demagogues that are in there that don't really understand or fully appreciate the power that they do have, and they misuse it. And, you know, oh yeah, we got rid of Cuomo. Cuomo is not on deck for doing anything for killing Granny. He's not, that's not the problem. Oh, the problem is he oogled somebody's butt. Who cares? I don't really care if he does that. If you're going to work for that kind of person, you probably deserve to get your butt oogled. I'm sorry. I wouldn't work for Mario Cuomo or whatever his name is. Andrew Cuomo. I wouldn't work for any of those people. They're, you know, it's like the CNN producer on Chris Cuomo's show was caught, you know, bringing a young girl in to groom her to be a sex slave.
Yeah. That's just,
okay, he's getting arrested. You think he's the only one at CNN doing this? Oh, this is a one-off, right? Yeah, exactly.
Well, that kind of leads me to my next thought here, and that is that the co-conspirators in all of these topics is the media. They're the most diabolical component of this. They actually make it all happen. They allow elections mm-hmm. to be stolen. They allow investigations into elections that were stolen to be discredited. They have a tremendous amount of power. At least they have. Anybody that's actually paying attention realizes that these people are not serious individuals and that it's straight propaganda. But it seems like, and I hate to get too excited about it because I always get disappointed, but it feels like there might be an actual change happening with the way people relate to the corporate whore media. Like CNN seems to be doing things. People are starting mm-hmm. to ask questions. The ratings are definitely in the toilet. They're getting killed by the alternative media and other shows. So is it over? Is the reign of terror over for the mainstream corporate horror media, or is that just my wishful thinking?
Well, I think it's going to be a long, if you ever have an ear cell die when it goes, we're about right here.
It takes a while.
It's going to take a while. All this stuff takes a while. Things don't change on a dime. People want to, it's just like even electing a president. People, you know, the only reason I think it's changed on a dime with these Democrats, they know their time is short, and they see the writing on the wall. So they're just pulling out all the stops, and now they're going to try to nationalize the elections, which, you know, nobody was talking about that 2 days ago. Now it's all they're talking about, because they're not going to do Build Back Better. We're going to nationalize the election so we can continue to steal and only Democrats get to poll watch, and you know, the sky's the limit with the fraud, and Joe Biden will win again if this happens. And you know, a guy who can't get anything out. And I don't even want to go into defending Trump, but nobody gave a shit about Trump until he ran for president. Even when he was running in the beginning, they thought it was a joke. They thought it was funny. And then when he started like saying stuff that people wanted to hear, people wanted to hear. Obviously, people wanted to hear this, because they would show up in droves to listen to him talk.
And the rock star. Selling out stadiums.
I tell you what, I'd only went inside to, I've been to the outside of a lot of Trump events, but inside, I only went to one in Houston. And he's fantastic. He knows how to work a crowd. And whether you say, well, he has bad policy and all this other, I don't know. I mean, my gas prices were pretty low. We had pretty good unemployment under Trump. We weren't in any new wars. He went to North Korea and at least met with the dictator to, I think, sell him on a beach condo bid or something. I mean, who knows what he was doing, but it was probably selling him on, hey man, you could do that. Look at South Korea. Look how good they're doing. If you did some of this, you would have this much more prosperity. And you know, it's not going to be like, yes, let's do it. And then boom, 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 boom. It's not like a montage in a movie. All this stuff takes time. And that's the problem. It's hard, especially when, you know, I started working at InfoWars in 2009, but I was awake to a lot of other things well before that. I've been reading this stuff since the 90s. So we're going on 23, 24 years where I've know that the system is corrupt, and I talk about it, and I try to surround myself with people that talk about it and know about it. And it's a slow change, but change is happening.
Yeah.
And will we do it in time? I don't know. Hey, the sun might eject a solar flare and wipe out everything, and then we don't have to worry about nothing, because everybody's going to get fed to the dogs anyway. There's no electricity. There's going to be a lot of people dying really quickly. And what's going to be scary is all those people in those labs with those diseases. Suddenly those diseases are going to go everywhere.
Like the smallpox that just up and appeared out of nowhere. And right after Bill Gates was talking about it, just another one of those coincidences.
My greatest fear is a bioweapon attack from terrorists like smallpox. I don't know where they'll find any.
It's maybe Fort Detrick. Maybe we should look there. Maybe in your secret GMO or your natural seed layer in Spalsbard, Norway, where you've got all the real seeds.
Maybe every BS4 lab in the country probably has smallpox, and they just don't know it. It's like, well, it was found in the back of a freezer, and it was, you know, it didn't say smallpox. It was labeled whatever the actual disease name is, or the virus name. But it's amazing. And we know. And so this is them trying to play their hand. So, yes, there probably will be a smallpox outbreak somewhere.
Yeah.
Which it's funny. Right when I saw that story about the vials get found, I started looking up what are natural remedies for smallpox, because, you know, ivermectin, we had the actual horse paste in the office within a week of this COVID thing kicking out, because we had read about ivermectin. We went to the store and bought a bunch. We had it sitting on the shelf. Nobody ever used it. I think Jones used it on a show one time, but that was after we had gotten people ivermectin. But we had the horse paste there because we look at the information and we get prepared.
Right.
I saw something on the pitcher plant, which is like a Venus flytrap type plant. That's like a, it's like a pitcher and the fly crawls on it and goes in and can't get out.
Right.
But that apparently has great properties to treat and help with smallpox and a bunch of other skin type lesions. Although when you go, so you can read the old papers on it that they in the 1800s and they're using it for smallpox. Great. And then, but you can find this stuff on the internet very cheap. It will not be cheap the second smallpox rears its head.
It will not it will be legal either.
It won't be legal either. Yeah. They'll be like, haha, people are now using plant paste.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, Jimmy Fallon will be laughing at everybody, you know, using natural cures for this stuff. But that's the stuff that's going to work. So when you hear these things out in the world, take that as a sign to start looking up what you could do in case this does become a pandemic. So, you know, I bought $100 worth of it. I may never use it. I also have potassium iodide here in case there's ever a nuclear war. I hope I don't have to use it. But if I do, I've got it.
You've got
okay?
it.
And I'd rather not go.
You can sell it and make some money.
I don't have, I have enough to help my friends and family.
There you go.
As we like to say, I've just noticed the friends and family thing crops up and it really hit home when the Elmo doll was saying, now I'm safe for friends and family after he took the shot.
The tickle Elmo vaccine doll. They're so evil.
They can't leave
anything. They just have to get kids and these fuckers, I can't stand it. So I wonder though, and this is sort of like, I just recorded an episode of my show that's on like predictions for what's coming in the next year, you know, not like okay. Karnak, the magician type stuff, but when you hear Project Veritas, they go undercover, they get that CNN producer busted. He's saying, yeah, you know, we're really kind of more pivot to climate change for the end of the year and beyond. It's just an indicator that the media has not just an agenda, but a scheduled agenda. So it's now going to be climate change. Are we going to see the same sort of mentality that's used to sell COVID lockdowns morph into climate lockdowns?
Yeah, well, we're already seeing that. I think we've already had our first climate lockdown in India over the air pollution.
Oh, yeah.
So we're already, already happening. It's going to continue to happen. You know, you can't, the sad thing is they do have statistics where, hey, air pollution levels did go down when people were locked in their homes.
Right.
Duh. You know, well, hey, why don't we work on like cleaner burning engines that use. I remember I had a friend had a Honda CRX and it had a carburetor and it got about, I want to say 45 miles to the gallon.
Mm-hmm.
And then he wrecked that and he had to get a Toyota Celica. But I remember this Honda CRX, like he never had to put gas in it. A friend of mine had a bug. It got like 39 miles to the gallon. Wow. You know, what car? And nowadays, do you know that even gets that? Oh, no, we have fuel injection. It's so much better, but it doesn't work as good as a carburetor. How is that possible? How have we gone backwards in miles per gallon? How have we let, and they're like, well, if we tell the car companies they have to do better, they're going to go out of business. They used to do it. We used to have cars that got better miles per gallon. Maybe they weren't as safe. That could be. Maybe they were built out of plastic. I don't know. But, you know, hell, the man who Diesel is named after, Mr. Diesel, invented his motors were supposed to be run off of hemp. They're supposed to be run off hemp fuel. So we have these technology that are here. That's already here. We could be growing hemp and we could be making a whole ton of shit on it. And it could be a very cleaner industry than petroleum is. And we could still use petroleum. Hey, petroleum is great. We already have the infrastructure. Let's keep using it. But instead of saying we're going to go find child slaves in Africa and make them mine our lithium so we can build battery cars that create fires that never burn out. Well, why don't we start making hemp fuel? Because guess what? You could get in Texas, you could get three or four growing seasons on one piece of land, and it doesn't take a lot of fertilizer. It doesn't take a lot of pesticides. It doesn't, it's not something that's going to further degrade your environment. And the fact that we're still, we're coming up on 2022, and we barely have a hemp industry. And I've said it, I'll say it again, grow hemp, grow Texas. And that's what we should be growing in the state of Texas, is lots of hemp. You guys are doing it in Colorado, I think for some of the wrong reasons. I mean, I'd like to see more of this stuff be made, you know, one, be grown without pesticides and stuff or fertilizers. I think there's ways to grow this stuff clean and grow this stuff clean. Make it potent, whatever. I don't care. But the medicinal stuff, the stuff for cancer. Why aren't we studying this on cancer? There's people that have used it for cancer. You could go watch the Phoenix Tears on the web, and this guy claims he's cured all kinds of people with cancer. Maybe he hasn't. Have we done any studies on it? Have we made his hemp oil and tried giving it to cancer patients? I mean, I personally know somebody who did it, but she also did chemo, and she died right after she started doing the chemo. Rest her soul. God rest her soul. But she was trying this stuff. But how did she make the hemp? Well, she had to go buy a pound of weed and make it herself. That shouldn't, it shouldn't be like that. You should be able to go to the store and get if it's going to help you. But no, we have to have pharmaceutical companies run everything. No, we can't have pharmaceutical companies pivot to hemp, because then they couldn't patent it. You know, and all this bullshit, which is based not on helping people, but on cornering the market and getting rid of your competition. That's what it's all about. It's about not having competition. And that, going back to your, I'll finish with this, going back to your thing with the news media, what's going to kill the news media is competition. That's why they don't want competition. They don't want you on the air. They don't want me on the air. They don't want anybody else that doesn't have a opinion that isn't bought or approved by a giant monolithic corporation. Yeah. You're the companies you were advertising at the beginning, small companies. I've actually been to my Patriot Supply. A large, small company. They have a very nice operation. I'll give them that.
They've done a good job of turning from a small company into a large company, because
they have
started as a really good company.
And they make a good product.
Themselves up, as opposed to just being a conglomerate that was slapped together or something, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it's, they grew the business, and all this can be done. Anybody can do this. I bought Storable Food in 2009. Me and my son opened it up. We started eating the oatmeal just because we're like, let's see if this stuff's still good. I think we only had one can that had kind of, you know, when the cans start bubbling, you know, the top starts doing this, throw it out. It's no good. Don't even try to, you're not going to save it. You're not going to cook it. Don't do it. No. Just throw it away. I forget what it was. I don't know if it was beef stew. It might've been peaches. It was something. But I've been into having Storable Food. I've been into colloidal silver. That shit works. I talked to a guy last night who runs a music festival outside of Austin, and he's a small business owner, and he's a super laid back person. He's not aggressive at all. He's just very chilled. And he was talking about, he's like, so do you ever get despondent working for Alex? You know, he kind of talks like this. I find that having information and knowing information very empowering. I said, have you ever heard of colloidal silver? He goes, yeah, I give it to my kids. I said, that's what I do too. My kids have a stuffy nose. Now I know I'm coming at them with the colloidal silver up the nose, and it works. I can make it in my house, and it keeps them from getting into something where they're having bronchitis or some sinus infection that then you have to go get antibiotics to cure. So we don't do it every day, but we do it when we need it. And it's knowing that stuff. I didn't hear about colloidal silver till I started listening to Alex Jones, and some guy was,
neither did I,
peddling a machine on it. But then I started reading up on it. Oh, and then when you type it in, you're like, wow. Oh, and here's the blue man. Oh, but the blue man also did it as a gimmick, and he just drank a shit ton of colloidal silver to turn blue so he could become a sideshow attraction. So everybody goes, the blue man. Well, the blue man was a created artifact of that, because hey, if you can create your own medicine in your house, what do you need the pharmaceutical companies for?
That's they cannot have that. That is it kind of goes goes back into the hemp talk, because you would think they would, you would think some rich industrialist would want a brand new industry like hemp. And, but then you realize, well, it's just a little too good. It's a little too good for the environment. And like, we don't want that. So we're suppressing that technology and all the good things that come out of it. And it's like, you have to be not just a wealthy industrialist thinking about this, but you also have to be a demented psychopath to also think, yep, that's too good for the planet. That's too good for humanity.
That'll never work. Have that.
You know,
then like, other people get into the business. No. And they'll make good stuff too.
We can't have that good stuff. We're in the business of selling you poisons at our pharmaceutical companies. It's such a weird mentality. And I think that that's one of the things that like your shows have been doing for a long, long time is, you know, you just explaining this stuff. Like, look, you guys go through life making an assumption that everybody's a good person because you're a good person. Mm-hmm. You're a good person listening to this. You don't want bad things. And so you're projecting your goodness onto these people. And what you don't realize is that these people are like a small percentage of society. They're just straight up psychopaths, and they don't want the same things that you want, and they don't feel the same way that you feel. And so what I've tried to do as much as I can is get people to like, remember, like, just remember, these people aren't like you. They're not wired like you. They're devious maniacs. And the sooner you recognize that, the sooner you'll be able to make sense of this world that you're living in, because it doesn't make sense when you think, how can these people be so incompetent over and over and over again? It's like, no. It's designed that way.
Well, they literally wrote their plan in stone, and you can go visit it in, I think it's Elberton, Georgia. I've been there twice. You can go read, you find it online. Go read the Georgia Guidestones. And this is not for you. This is for the other people out there watching this. Go read the Georgia Guidestones. That's their plan. That's what they want to do. And the way they're going to do that is not going to be a fun way. It's not going to be fun. So you can either go, hey, I'm going to be part of that plan. But guess what? You're not going to be part of that plan. If you think you're going to be one of those 500,000 or 500 million. No. That's going to be what they're going to do is kill off people who think, people who are intelligent. So they're going to kill off most of the United States, most of Canada, most of Australia. You can see what's going on in Australia right now. It's coming here. New Zealand. They're going to leave a lot of South American countries more or less alone. They'll kill off the upper tier. They want a slave class and an elite class. That's how they've gone for hundreds of thousands of years. There's been a slave class and a elite class. And the elite class is very small, but they're able to control the slave class through lots of different means. Mm-hmm. And that's what the plan is. And the plan doesn't involve people like us, people who are able to figure out this weird technology and talk about things and think critically and remember 6 months in the past or 2 years in the past. You know, we can't have that. We only need people who are thinking 3 days, you know, what was the message 3 days ago? We can change the message every 3 days and they won't remember it. And it's an Animal Farm type situation, but the plans are out there. They've written their plans. You need to find their plan and then realize what's going on and then take the steps you need in your life to not go down that path, but to help become part of the resistance that's coming anyway. The resistance is happening. You could see it. Liberal people, Christine Anderson in Germany, she looks to me like she was probably a super environmentalist kind of lefty, but she's waking up to what's going on. And I'm just judging that on her appearance. I've never met her, never talked to her. But we did do a video about her, and the guy who made it put it on his Twitter, and she reached out to him through his Twitter and was like, she goes, your video gave me goosebumps. Now what is she doing? She's speaking out a whole bunch more. Now, I don't know if she would have done that had that video of hers not gone viral, but that video went viral because people were like, oh my God, we need more people like this. We need people who are in these positions. You know, this is their time. This is, if you're in a position of power, this is your time to shine for freedom and for humanity. Okay. You don't need to be a Gretchen Whitmer. You don't need to be a, who's the lady in Chicago? Beetlejuice up in Chicago. You don't need to be de Blasio. You could be a good person. You can trust the science still, but actual science, not Fauci science, which is fake. You could actually look at what's going on and go, hey, these people were lying to us about early treatment. What else are they lying to us about? Because let me tell you, I'm living proof. Early treatment works.
Right.
Early treatment works. It saved my life. Guaranteed 100%. That's all you got to do.
Yeah. Yeah. So. It's a crazy, crazy world that we're living in. That's Rob Dew, everybody. He's the nightly news director over InfoWars. I'm sure you've been watching.
Well, there's no nightly news anymore. So
no.
I would say that's not a position I hold.
All right. Well, you're the senior. But
that's probably still on a bio somewhere. That
probably.
I don't change any of that stuff on LinkedIn or any of that. You know, it's years
what
old.
You said you've done everything there. How would you describe what would be your job title now if you gave yourself your own title?
Geez, that's the best question of the night. What do I do every day? I do what needs to be done.
Right.
That's it.
You're a video. You come from a video editing background, right?
Yes.
You've got that. A producing.
Oh, and if you will indulge me for a second, I hate Premiere now, what they've done to this program. It used to be a decent program. I don't know what you edit on, but I am looking for. My thing is to be able to edit fast and to use a combination of shortcuts. I use two hands when I edit. I have a touchpad and a trackball, and I edit very fast. And I have yet to be able to get to the point where I can edit as fast as I'm thinking. And it's either because the system stops working or the shortcuts that used to work no longer work. And whatever the shortcut is now, I haven't figured it out. But it seems like every time they upgrade, now Premiere's on this thing where every year we upgrade to a new edition. So what do these engineers do? They go, people used to like these effects. Let's get rid of them and not allow them to use them anymore. And we'll create these new effects that don't work like the old ones, but you know, we want to keep our jobs. So we're just going to keep changing this program up that used to work and now is a weird facsimile of itself. And now it's so memory heavy. If you have a computer that's a year old, well, it's not going to work on that computer too well either. So I think we need to get away from that system of everything has to be new every year, has to be redone, we have to keep reinventing the wheel. No, we just need to make things work better. Things need to be more efficient. And there's ways to do that without creating a resource heavy hog machine, which is what we have now with Adobe Premiere. So I'm this close to never editing on Premiere again. Although I have so many projects in Premiere, I don't know what I do, but I used to be like that in Final Cut Pro. And I ended up switching because I didn't want to go to the new Final Cut Pro because it's a reinvention of itself.
Instead of Hillary Clinton's masterclass, why don't you do your masterclass on video editing? You can show everyone how to do it. And you don't have to be a war criminal.
That's true. That's true. I'll show you how to edit war criminal documentaries. Exactly. That's the way to go. Well, hey, it was fun. I appreciate you having me on.
Thanks for coming on.
I'm on no social media except for Mastodon. So if you can find me there, you can talk to me. But other than that, I am on nothing. And I love it.
And that's probably where we should all be. So, hey, everybody, if you like this episode, take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. Thanks, Rob. You're the best. We appreciate you.
All right, man. Have a good one.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn.
and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.